This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, it's time for combat.
Oh!
Yeah!
Finally.
Rolling for initiative is what you do when you're playing RPGs with your friends.
And Baron brought a gun to a knife fight.
From a holster, I pull a pistol.
This is insane.
I don't even know how to react to this.
I don't want to live in this world.
What the fuck is that?
The investigation drags on with new witnesses.
Well, do you know who it is, or are there any leads?
No, we don't know who it is.
Why are you yelling?
We're still investigating the murder. We don't know who it is.
And old racists.
That's the dirty orc that Roderick was buddy-buddy with.
God damn, that's racist. God damn.
Be careful. They steal.
The adventure continues now.
Hey everybody, this is Skid, otherwise known as the alter ego of Galabras Finn, the upper-class fish-out-of-water cleric-slash-healer. Thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Podcast. This is a good episode. We actually fight something, I think, so fans of imaginary violence, this is for you. If you like us, why not rate and review us on iTunes? And if you don't like us, why not pretend for a second, just like we do on the podcast? You can also Twitter us. Or tweet us at Glass Cannon Pod, and check out our Tumblr, glasscannonpodcast.tumblr.com. You'll see our character sheets and some pictures of the boards we're using, and some musings from myself and my fellow Glass Canadians. So thank you very much for listening, and enjoy the pod.
And it's time for episode three of the Glass Cannon Podcast. Unless one of these went horribly wrong and we had to cut it out, in which case it would be like episode two or one. Or this may never see the light of day. But we're back. I think we should do like a little round table just to remind everyone who is the actor or who's the PC and who's the player. Joe, tell me.
My name is Joe O'Brien from MetagameTheory.com, and I'm playing Lork Irontusk, the ranger half-orc.
Exactly like that. Do it just like Joe did. Matthew.
Hi, I'm Matthew Capodicasa, and I'm playing Gormley Call, the witch.
This is Grant Berger. I am playing as Baron, the dwarven gunslinger, and you can check out my work at nowhere.
This is Skid Marr. I'm playing Galabras Finn, the upper class disaffected healer, cleric.
When last we left our heroes, they had gone to the sanctuary, looked at poor Roderick's naked, dead body, saw his slit wrists, detected that there was an element of poison within him, and then identified said poison as being oil of Taggart.
Taggart. So, Taggart, I think...
Can I do a... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Taggart, I believe, was the name of one of the detectives in Beverly Hills Cop.
Taggart? Yeah.
Oh, it's Taggart.
Taggart.
So it's not the oil of that cop from Beverly Hills Cop.
Let me just check my notes. It is not, in fact.
Oh, God
would
damn
that,
it.
Would that one be of a, Axel Foley's
Can I do
cohorts.
An alchemy check to see what that does?
Yeah, sure.
Be great. Fumble.
I'll do a...
The
do
body a, reaches up and kills you.
Can I do a knowledge nature for oil of Taggart?
Probably
nature,
man-made, right?
Nature.
I mean, it's a naturally occurring...
Sure, thing, okay. Roll high.
I'll do the same, then.
Natural 19, ooh. 26 for the check.
24 for me.
What you, what Lork and Gormley know about oil of Taggart is really all that's important, is that it results only in unconsciousness, not death.
Aha, see, so he was knocked out so they could make it look like a suicide.
Yeah, so I mean, it's 100% that he did not kill himself.
This was a murder.
He could not kill himself if he was unconscious.
Do you have music that's like, dun, dun, dun?
Chum, chum.
All right, so
it'd be a bummer if you're just investigating an actual suicide. It's like, oh, this was sad.
And that's the end of the adventure. We're all level one. Let's start.
So I imagine Oil of Taggart is not something that would be on like a knife that cut him, because what's the point if it doesn't kill you? It just makes you unconscious. It's like a sleeping potion.
Where did we find the oil on his body? Did we find it on his mouth and his belly? Cut him open?
It was in his bloodstream.
Detected the poison in the bloodstream just with a very high heel check.
I smelled it.
Slash,
I could smell it in the blood.
Yeah. So then it was probably ingested.
Yeah, right. There would be no reason for someone to kill someone with have a it knockout on a blade. Potion at the same time.
We also drank of the same whiskey.
Remember, Roderick did not drink.
Roderick did not drink.
He said, I got stuff I got to deal with, but thank you anyway.
Yeah.
So many episodes ago.
So
it's hard to remember. I know. 2 weeks ago.
Well, you had a note.
I did.
What's your name? Byron?
Baron
found a note suggesting that, what was it?
Malira?
It was to Malira, but it suggested that Roderick was investigating something. It was in the room of the nameless man.
In the event that you're just tuning in now, there was a murder in Trunau, or a suicide, at least it looked at first, and after interrogating the innkeeper, we found out that there was an unnamed man who checked in around the same time.
Oh, yeah.
She said it was a man.
Yes,
it did. Around the same time that Roderick checked in.
Made the reservation after Roderick made his reservation, but checked in before Roderick checked in.
Right. Correct. Hmm.
You guys take excellent notes.
Yeah.
Really good work.
So I don't think that there's much more to discover from the body. I mean, we know he was poisoned and that he was murdered.
Right.
Can we look at his personal effects?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go through his effects.
They're back at the Ramble House. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn it.
Oh, man, I knew we should have looked.
Incredibly inefficient.
Let's just take a cab.
There's nothing of import. It's just his clothes.
Okay.
Is it worth, going through
this? No, I'd let you know. It's just his clothes. Obviously, he doesn't have his hope knife. He didn't have anything of value on him, like a handful of gold pieces.
All right. Well, this is, this is totally queer. This is getting queerer and queerer. Why don't we...
Blacksmith or long?
Yeah, I was thinking the blacksmith.
Let's have a little group roundtable about what you've been asked to look at and what you've discovered, just to kind of catch up on the situation. So, Kirst gave you three leads. What were they?
And Kirst is the brother of the deceased,
right?
And he said, "Look, check out, talk to Cham, who's the owner of the inn. Talk to."
And to check out the crime scene itself.
Right, to check out the crime scene itself, and then to talk to the half-orc...
Brynja,
that Roderick was seeing on the sly and was secretly engaged to.
Yes.
His fiancé.
His
fiancé. Affianced.
Yeah.
I like that word.
He was engaged to be married to what must be reasonably attractive half-orc.
Yeah. Unusually attractive.
As far as half-orcs go.
What's wrong with being...
But we don't much know about where to find her, though, right? I mean, nobody seems to know...
Oh, no,
nobody knows?
Well, presume if we talked to Roderick's family, they had a falling out. Maybe we could convince them.
No,
I think it's...
Lork refuses to talk to Roderick's father.
Even if Lork didn't know the half-orcs all in this town, or might recognize her, perhaps Sarah Morninghawk... Star?
Morninghawk.
Might know, and she's also the proprietor of the blacksmithy that made the Hope Knife.
Right.
That was engraved with a weird message to Roderick.
And also, Kirst he told you where to find Brynja.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what was the third thing that Kirst said?
That was it.
No, he said also...
No, he said the body.
Patrol Sergeant Omast from...
Oh, right.
Right of the family. So he said, Ramble House, check out the crime scene, and... Talk to Cham. Brynja gave you directions to her house and said, you could also seek out Omas From, who has been a close personal friend of the family. And then in your investigation of the Ramble House and now the Sanctuary, what else have you figured out? Obviously, you mentioned Sarah Morninghawk.
We know that there was this knife, a New Hope knife that Roderick had apparently...
A New Hope.
Ordered for himself.
A Star Wars knife.
A New Hope... knife. and that it was, we know it was ordered at Sarah Morninghawk's smithy.
And we know that a bunch of half-orcs checked into the inn, right?
Right.
And they graffitied the walls.
A week or somebody did.
A week or so ago. And then
do we know that they were the ones who graffitied? Toad.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
You would infer from your relative perceptions that it was them, and then you saw the same type of graffiti
around town, and it's sort of like a sword and shield,
like a white sword,
right?
Kind which of is thing. The sword of Yomadai.
That's the closest thing that Galabras can kind of think it relates to.
Okay,
so I would think that before speaking to Brenya. We should get as much information as possible to see if there are any holes in her story.
I agree with that.
So I think we should go speak with the smithy.
Agreed.
I agree.
Baron says to the group, let's mosey on down to the smithy, y'all.
I agree, my countrified friend.
Lead on, short stuff.
Okay, so you had started your day waking up to this murder scene, and then you kind of spent a few hours screwing around kind of investigating the murder, and then you made your way across town to the sanctuary and checked out the body. So now you're trolling through the streets to go over to Sarah Morninghop.
It's all those hoppy Coors Lights you're drinking.
Sarah Morninghop.
It's a breakfast special at Denny's, I think. Morninghop.
The Morninghop.
Get your day started off right with the Morninghop at Denny's.
She is the owner of Morninghawk's Fine Steel, but most people know it as Clammer, is the name that the locals call it. Oh, you're heading down to Clammer? Tell Sarah I said hi.
Clammer.
Yeah.
It sounds like a perfume.
Like as in ruckus?
it's just the common name for it. It's like...
For the whole place.
Yeah, the Smithies, whole place is called Clammer.
They're loud. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Would we know if there was more than one smithy that works the anvils and stuff? Is there a bunch of employees? Or
imagine we could ask Sarah.
Well, it would. I mean, the receipt, before going in.
The receipt
would imply that yes, that's the case. Yes. Because like, there's a space for like which smith did this.
Sarah is like the shit, but she has people working under her from time
apprentices.
To time.
Apprentices.
Parentheses. So by now you're walking there and it's starting to get dusky out, and all of a sudden you hear like,
oh fuck, feedback.
Did you guys hear what I just said? I just said a whole sentence.
Got a problem with the mic, I don't believe.
And you look up and you see three disgusting looking young wolves.
Ooh. In the middle of town?
In the middle of the street as you're walking. And for the first time, guys, roll for initiative.
Oh!
Yeah!
Finally.
Rolling for initiative is what you do when you're playing RPGs with your friends.
And I rolled poorly, as I usually do.
You guys can position yourself anywhere you want on this this section here.
Oh, I don't have a base.
Joe, could you move me in
there? You need a base, Skid?
I'm fine being in line with you. I don't need to be behind. Buddy.
I would like to be behind.
All right,
so we're standing.
Let's take a picture of this for the Tumblr.
Yeah.
This will be good for my friends to see. We've got these disgusting-looking wolves here.
Do they look like diseased or like...
Just tired.
Roll a perception check.
17.
They do in fact look diseased, young Lork.
All right.
Oh my goodness, we're rolling perception checks.
I know, it's like
initiatives.
We're playing Pathfinder.
It's like we're really playing, guys.
What time of day is it, by the way?
I would say it's about 6:30. Okay. It's getting darker out. Okay, let me roll from my wolves. Okay, who's over 20?
22.
20.
Ooh,
Gormley. Yeah.
It's that fucking scorpion.
Yeah, plus 4 to initiative.
Oh, you mean Howie?
Scorpion woman.
That's right. We need to know more about
Howie. Does Howie just like whisper into your ears, like, get ready, there's wolves right over there.
Don't say anything, Howie. But there's a wolf over there.
Howie grips.
Does Howie have like a thick Long Island accent?
Hey, don't say anything. No, don't tell these guys, right, so but
anybody else in the 20s? 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13,
12? 11. 12. 12 for Lork.
12 for Lork, Iron 11 Tusk. For Baron. Galabras, what'd you get?
5.
Oh, Galabras. What's your initiative bonus, dude?
0. That makes sense. I'll start setting up the after party.
Guys, for the first round in your first combat as a newly formed party of four, Gormley takes the stage.
All right.
Well, thank you. Hexes are move action or standard action?
Standard action, I would imagine.
So I can do. So I'm gonna use Evil Eye on the this foremost wolf.
The foremost wolf.
Ah, yes, Evil Eye.
It's a DC 13 save.
What kind of save are we talking? Are we talking will? Are we talking fortitude? Should maybe be, a little
should
reflex?
Be, should be a will save.
Yeah, it's a will save.
15.
Motherfucker.
So for one round, you take a minus 2 to your attack roll.
That's for if you succeed on
the... No, that's if you don't succeed. If you succeed on the save, it's for one round. If you didn't succeed, it would be for 6 rounds.
So what is it? Minus 2 to what?
Minus 2 to your attack roll.
Holy
oh, that's awesome.
Shit.
This is why witches are terrifying.
Is witches that, are the tits.
Is that minus 2 to damage too, or just minus 2 to attack?
Just to attack. I can do it again to do it to other stuff.
Brutes and goots.
You can just keep doing that?
I can keep doing it. I can't target the same thing. So if I do, I can do an AC, then I can do, you know, I can do attack roll, I can do their saves.
Oh, holy shit. Oh,
against the awesome. Same opponent.
Against the same opponent.
Skid's like, fuck, I should have been a witch.
But you
fucking witch.
Yeah.
We should be four
we should be
witches.
A party of witches. We should be a coven. Like
that's actually... Just like crazy ass bitches. There's just a, like roll
there's
it
a hex
down.
That's for coven.
American Horror Story Season 3 plays Giant Slayer.
I'd love for Jessica Lang to come in and join us.
Up next is Lork.
Lork is going to take his... fucking long spear and step up and stab at one of these cats.
Fair enough.
So Lorik moved like 10 feet for those listening.
He steps, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll step up and then we'll stab the
and presumably spear. The spear has reach.
It does. 22 to hit.
Let me just check my paper for a first level thing that you're fighting. Yes, a 22 does hit, in fact.
Oh, stab it.
8 points of damage.
8 points of damage. And now, was that the one that he just hexed?
No.
The other dude. 8 points of damage. All right. All right, all right. Next, do you have multiple attacks? Oh, no, wait. Your first level. Baron. Every time I say Baron, I think your name is spelled B-A-R-R-E-N.
Yes, like my womb is barren.
He's not going to be
which is also true.
Soon.
Am I within 20 feet of the wolf here?
Yes.
Okay. I, for the first time in town...
That's the evil-eyed wolf, I believe.
For right? For the first time in yeah. True Now, I whip one side of my duster aside from my body. And from a holster, I pull a pistol.
Oh, this is insane. This is awesome. I don't even know how to react to this.
I don't want to live in this world.
What the fuck is that?
I do a fancy whip around my finger... And I point it at the dead-eyed wolf. What is the wolf?
Evil-eyed.
Evil-eyed wolf.
In the background, it goes, he's so fancy. Already now. He's gonna shoot the wolf.
Ooh.
He rolled a 17.
I rolled a... So that is a 21 to hit.
Oh, that's what we...
Oh, pardon me. And I meant to say, I'm going to use the up-close and deadly deed.
Ah.
Explain what that is, Grant. It's
up close
cool.
and deadly is a deed which I can use when I spend my grit points. And it's a pistolero archetype, subtype of the gunslinger. And I can deal 1d6 points of extra damage on hit. But if I missed, I could graze the target and deal half the extra damage anyway.
Holy shit. How many times a day can you do that?
I can do it 3 times. If I... so
it has to spend a point.
3 grit points based on wisdom, my wisdom modifier. I will get more as I level up, obviously. And if I critical an enemy, kill an enemy, or I do something really freaking sweet, that Troy thinks is awesome, I will regain a hit point.
Or hard to please. But this is already pretty
good. That's not what your girlfriend told me.
I told her to keep her mouth closed.
Also, they're engaged.
Oh, okay, so girlfriend until you're
She's
married.
She's marrying you?
No, he meant my girl on the side.
Oh, your mistress.
Right.
Does anyone have a 1d8? Can I borrow your 1d8? I have one. This is a
Can I borrow your what? Do you have a 2d8?
I've been a barbarian for so long with like 1d12 and 2d6.
Like, looks like somebody didn't bring a d8 to a gunfight.
roll a 7.
Mother fudger. There's no bonus to this.
Except
I do 7 damage, 1D6. And then I do a 1d6. I do 11 points of damage.
Damn.
Let's just take a step back and kind of walk through what just happened. So Gormley's like, mum, 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 and the wolf, this dumb little young wolf, kind of reacts to it, saves, but still gets all fucked up, -2 to attack. And then Lork comes up, Lork smash, boom, hits this guy, nearly kills it. And then fucking tiny little gunslinger dwarf kills this wolf.
Oh my god,
dead.
I regain the grit point I just spent.
That's awesome.
Fucking god, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Lork is like, what the fuck was that? Like, he just hears, boom!
Yeah, we're all covering our ears.
Baron, like, exactly.
Baron looks over at the half-orc, who he has misgivings about orcs, which we'll learn about later during Tom Exposition's time, and he winks at him.
He's just like, whoa.
And then...
the dwarf with no name.
After he kills the wolf, he blows on the barrel, does a whip around his finger, and places it back in the holster.
What are you doing? There are two more wolves.
Still two more wolves. Well, my work is finished.
I was talking to
he puts it at the side of his body, not in his holster.
You know, drawing that is a move action. It would have been the dead wolf's turn, but now it's Galabras' turn.
Okay. I am going to use my bit of luck ability as a standard action and touch... Baron, it will give you, it basically gives you advantage on your next d20 roll. So you will roll 2 20-sided dice, your next attack, whatever you do, and you take the higher result.
Luck. As Galabras...
Good luck, my dwarven friend.
As Galabras touches Baron turns to Galabras and says, much obliged.
Much obliged.
Much obliged, partner.
Hick dwarf. Now it is gross-looking wolf's turn. The one that Lork attacked steps up and goes to bite Lork.
So, okay.
16.
Hit.
Uh-oh. Okay, so this wolf, you take 3 points of damage. Now roll a fortitude save.
Ooh. 16.
Saved against whatever disease that thing was trying to
do. I don't like
fucking,
it.
You didn't get fucking
hydrophobia. I don't like it.
I'm gonna metagame for a second, just to let you know. You do not want to get diseased by these things. I can't believe this is the first encounter. It's brutal.
I'm going to stay at the back.
And then, because it succeeded on the hit, it gets an automatic attempt to trip without an attack of opportunity to knock Lork prone. Remind me what trip is. Like, I'm rolling my
CMB.
Against
it's a
your
combat,
CMB?
Combat maneuver attack against his combat
maneuver. Oh, shit. 18.
Yeah, it's a hit.
So this wolf steps up, bites you. You're able to pull your arm out before its disease gets in you. But shagunk, Lork falls to the ground. You know why? Because he hasn't fucking fought in combat.
Yeah, because he's got a bad knee.
He's got a bad right knee.
He's got a bum knee, especially when it rains the night before.
Oh, yeah. You can always tell.
Baron has a deep chuckle and goes, paper pusher.
Oh man.
He can't catch a break.
I'm a gruff ass drifter.
Lork just sort of like who's hits the ground next to
me. That's Baron.
Don't you worry none, Lork.
So now the other wolf comes up and goes to bite Baron von Dwarf.
Baron
Critical Bonnie. Threat.
Oh, mother shit.
Oh. Holy snaps. Did not confirm the crit.
All right.
I was so excited to
let the breath out.
Take this crit deck and find out what a natural crit was going to
oh,
be.
Oh, I have a 30 AC, actually. No.
All right, roll a fortitude save.
And you actually, the bit of luck, for this entire round, every time you roll a d20, you roll it twice.
Gross.
So you can roll it on your
frickin',
fortitude also.
Frickin' dope. that's a 15.
You succeeded on the fortitude save.
That's sweet. A 22.
You succeeded both times. With a bit of luck. You take 1 point of damage, and then it's a 17 to trip you against your CMD.
That is a trip.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
So these wolves came up, didn't do a lot of damage, didn't do any disease damage, but they did trip Lork, the half-orc ranger, and Baron, the dwarven gunslinger.
Troy, and for anyone who's unfamiliar with the ultimate combat classes, as a gunslinger with an emerging pistol, all of my rolls are against touch AC.
Right.
That is true. So basically what you've learned is always be a gunslinger when you play Pathfinder.
Oh, shit.
Round the second. Gormley, your allies are on the ground.
Drawing my crossbow is a move action or standard action?
That's a move action.
So I could draw and shoot in this round.
Totally.
All right, so I'm going to draw my crossbow and shoot at the wolf that tripped Lork.
Okay.
Ooh, 18
plus 3 is 21.
That's a hit. Wow, you guys are rolling good.
Yeah, all of a sudden. We're rolling well. Troy.
Yes.
I know what I said.
Superman does good.
Go you back to your room. Well.
6 points of damage.
Nice.
Now that's the one.
That's the one that
I did.
Already got hit.
Yeah, I did 8 points of damage.
So Gormley steps up, got this, guys. Kills that wolf.
Oh, fuck. Saved my life, bro.
Nice job. They just high five for people at home.
That's a Lork. You're up. Actually, you're down.
Gotta get down.
You can stand up. Oh, no, you're threatened there, aren't you?
I guess I am threatened, yeah. So,
want to provoke? Get sick.
You know, could he roll away?
5 foot roll?
Yeah, like a 5 foot roll and then stand up and then not do an attack.
That's like five rolls, by the way. You only roll like a foot at a time, but I don't want to influence the
I mean, this, master. Yeah, so this thing trips him. Can I just like roll away and stand up and not provoke and be that my whole action? Almost like a withdraw
a
action.
Full, like a full withdraw to but just, where stand I just stand up and take five not foot take step. The attack of opportunity? Yes, you can. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, that's Lork's move. Baron. Baron down!
Can I...
Baron down!
Can I shoot from the ground?
You can. You take a... Actually, I don't think you take a minus, right?
You take a minus four.
Oh, yeah, because it's in melee combat. You, but that's...
Do you have to... Don't you have to load your gun?
I do, but another treat for the listeners learning about the gunslinger for the first time. I have rapid reload, which changes any reload... from a standard action to a movement action, but in addition to that, I'm going to load my gun with a paper alchemical cartridge, which will turn it into a swift action. In this time, however, I will provoke an attack of opportunity. Such. I'm not sure if I should do that or not.
Well, you'll... I mean, the danger is not the hit point damage. It's that these things are diseased.
But you still are going to have advantage on your save rolls
right.
for the rest of the round, so you get to roll twice.
Okay, you know. So...
It's a ballsy move. It's a move that, if successful, could earn one grit.
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to use Up Close and Deadly. This is roll one to hit.
Just make sure we all know
that
this is...
Roll twice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that's that's a 13 against touch AC.
That is a hit.
All right. So I'm going to...
It gets its attack of opportunity against you, yes?
Yes.
So let's resolve that. And then you can roll your wolf damage. 19.
That hits.
All right. It hits for only one damage. But now you got to roll a fortitude save.
I don't get bonus to my fortitude save. I just get to roll twice, correct?
Right.
Yep.
That is a 16.
Saved, not poisoned. Amazing. Now, how does the trip work in an attack of opportunity?
If it hits, he's already down.
Oh, he's already down.
It just trips you further into the ground. All right, so it attacks you. You did 1 point of damage, but you got a chance to kill it because you did hit.
That is a 11 points of damage.
And the final wolf is dead.
Yeah!
Just like...
blows his head right in the head.
From the ground. Guts go everywhere.
I say, adios.
Adios, Lobos.
I don't speak your filthy Spanish. Except no. Adios, let's be clear.
I say that.
I mean, I did just say adios.
Let's be clear that I did say that. And Baron is the furthest thing from a racist against anything but orcs.
So Lork rolls away, stands up in 10 feet away flanking position with his long spear, all of his years of training, ready to stab through this thing's back as it's focused on the dwarf. And then its head and brains just blow into fucking
all over your face.
Lork's face. And he's like, oh my God, what in the Baron, fuck are you holding?
Baron looks at Lork and says, wolf brains, it's what's for dinner.
And immediately Lork's like, this Baron dude is getting weirder by the minute. He's almost like Gormley weird.
Baron is giving like Lork a don't fuck with me look.
Well, Lork is just asking, what is that horrifying god device that you have in your hand?
You're like, Baron,
what is magic is this?
Baron,
show me your boomstick.
Can I detect magic on those things?
with a great flourish and a great deal of panache as well. Baron whips the pistol around his finger in the air in an intricate motion and puts it back in his holster after opening up his duster with his opposite hand and then closes the duster again and says, don't you worry. It'll be known in time.
You don't want to over-question a man like that.
What was that
boomstick?
I want to know. Gormley wants to know more about this disease look that the wolves had going.
One second though, sure. Troy. These are fucking loud. So anyone in town, like nearby, in any buildings, are like, what the fuck?
Right. Like
how do you not have to roll a check to not get deafened?
Dwarven earplugs.
If you look, those are buildings there along the street, and you can kind of see like people looking out their windows, like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And they just see you guys standing around three gross-looking wolves that are like, dying. I think Gormley wanted to look at the bodies of the wolves.
I do want to look at the bodies. I want to know more about this disease.
Give me a heal check or a craft alchemy.
I have a heal check.
I have a heal check.
I'll roll craft alchemy if he fails.
17 on heal.
17 is enough to know that these animals weren't rabid, as they initially seemed, but had in fact been poisoned.
Mm. With oil of
Taggart oil?
No, that just makes you unconscious.
Can I do an alchemical check on what they're poisoned with?
Yeah, you can.
That's only an 8.
Yeah, it's just some sort of weird toxin that had made these... they were like young wolves. They weren't full-blown adult wolves. So most likely someone or something had snuck some sort of toxin in them. And
Baron licks their open wounds. No.
No, don't do that. Is there, I advise against that.
No.
Roll 3 fortitude saves.
Is there any visible...
DC 40.
That's stupid. I was gonna say, is there any visible like wounds that they've taken? If we just murdered, slaughtered them, and
well, let's see. One of them has a spear wound. one of them has a bullet wound.
It's like a murderer,
and the other one has no face.
I'm gonna channel positive energy, which for anybody who doesn't know, I can do it at this point 5 times per day, and it like channels divine positive energy in a 30-foot radius around me, and I can use it to either heal wounds for my friends, or if they're undead, anything that's vulnerable to positive energy, I can use it to damage them. But in this case, I'm going to use it to try to heal your guys' wounds. I roll a d6 and 6 points.
Oh, so awesome.
Everyone's fully healed.
That was great. That was also a great description.
Yeah. I think we got to remember to do that, I think, for people who...
So Lork, in the past, being a ranger and
tracker in his heyday would like to examine, you know, the tracks to see if he could follow in reverse where these wolves came from, to sort of, you know, follow their tracks backwards, see if he can follow there.
Right. You roll a survival check.
19.
19's a great roll. You get this. The best you can tell is that they came from outside of the city. And then just sort of the tracks get lost, and then you pick them up again right before the attack. 19's good enough to know that they're like, they were outside wolves that were brought in and then sent towards you guys.
Could I? Like. Oh, wait, you mean like there are some human tracks, like with the wolf tracks?
Yes, but not the ones that are close to you. As you go,
right. They were
more.
Sent.
Yeah,
Troy. Is there any way? I know you've already given out this information, so obviously tell me no. But could I buff his roll with my survival skill?
You can, and you'll find out the same information. That's like 19 was good enough.
Thanks for that shortcut.
Just saving everybody time.
Great DMing.
Although I do love the sound. congrats on your first combat.
We were awesome.
Nobody got really sick.
Nope.
Everybody got some hits in, even my wolves. So we all had fun.
Yeah. Yep, we did all have fun.
Very democratic.
But unsurprisingly, the gunslinger had the most fun because it's the best class ever created.
You know, I thought it would add some flavor beyond. I sound like Anna Gasteyer in that sketch on SNL where they talk about baking right now. You know, I thought, but I thought it would add some more,
NPR.
More flavor than a lot of normal classes. I didn't pick it to be OP or anything like that.
Sorry, what is OP?
Overpowered.
Ah.
And by the way, we have a 20.
Nerd.
So the way that our characters were built, we didn't roll for each stat. We had a 20-point buy-in, but with the
caveat
that nothing could be higher than 16 or lower than 7. So we are not demigods in any given area. But I was reading enough guides, you know, just an interest about gunslingers, and a lot of people thought they sucked. It's a very divisive issue. Hmm. People think they're overpowered. People think they're underpowered.
Well, this kind of thing is always over time.
Right.
You know, like in one combat, any sort of individual class can shine and how the die rolls and everything. But over time,
and
you know, we'll see.
I'll admit I didn't look closely enough to tell if these comments were during playtesting or if they were done after it was finally balanced. So,
yeah.
Also, inconclusive.
I think a lot of people are probably resistant to the notion of having gunpowder be an effective tool in a fantasy setting. Because it was always, like, in the original Dungeons & Dragons, it was always illegal. Like, it physically doesn't work. So I think probably old schoolers like me are like, you shouldn't be able to use it. I think it's fine. But
so basically, Skid doesn't want you in the group.
Yeah, what I'm saying, Grant, is get out.
You buff.
No, but it is, you know, that's not always going to be the case. That was a first-level encounter.
Right.
You know, and you're going to do the same damage, you know, 3 levels from now, and that all I'm saying is you'll do great damage, but you won't necessarily get that grit point back immediately that you spent to do that damage.
I don't mean to waste too much time on my character, but should I give exposition towards like why I have guns in this world to make it better, or should I wait till that appears to the party, Troy?
Is Tom here?
Tom Exposition shows up. Like, hey guys,
did he hear the gunshot?
I heard some.
Those
gunshots.
Guys probably need to know how those guns work.
And the other question is: should I say really quickly where my character is going to progress to, what I envision him as, or should I just let that develop?
I think we'll let it develop naturally through time.
Sounds good.
Because I kind of like you guys don't really know each other. You guys know of each other, meaning Lork.
Yeah,
and
Gormley. I know of Gormley.
You know
yeah.
about the weird old witch that shows up and.
Yeah,
steals babies.
For hope next ceremony.
Right.
But you know, you're all standing kind of still.
Casts hexes on you.
You're all kind of still feeling each other out. So over time, you'll get to know when's the right time to share that information. Then we can share it in game.
Can I ask one last mechanics question?
Sure.
Especially since Matt is newer to it.
He prefers Matthew.
Yeah, it's Matthew.
Oh, I'm so goddamn sorry.
I don't want someone to tweet.
You can.
Hey, Matt, really like where Gormley's going.
I prefer Grantholomew instead of Grant. So,
Grantholomew.
If you guys could be a bit more formal. I just wanted to know. I think it's a bit faster for and an archetype of gunslinger is bow boss or something like that. You can use a bow instead of guns in case someone like Skid is being a bitch about guns. But
someone like me.
Like Skid. Right. I just wanted to know.
No, what's like you, Skid.
Is the reload time on a bow, because you have to do that as opposed on a crossbow, is the reload time on that like a standard action?
It's a move action.
Move action.
It's a move action. Okay. Yeah.
And it provokes, yeah. Just same.
Okay.
A lot of the same mechanics.
It totes provokes.
We know that Roderick's father and brother live at the longhouse, and even though they're grieving still, they would probably be open to seeing people late at night who are investigating their son and brother's death. So sure. I suggest we go there.
I think that's a good idea.
You don't want to talk to his father.
We should probably find...
That guy's a dick.
I'll talk to him.
Oh, we go back.
And you'll talk to him.
Don't mention Brenya.
I might just wait outside.
And it's getting to be later at night now, or it's getting later in the day, and you guys, it's expected, or it's offered to you to stay at the Ramble House if you decide to go back there. But you want to stop by on the way back to the inn to see Kirst at the Longhouse? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you get there, you show up at the Longhouse, and Kirst comes down.
Hey, guys, how's the investigation going?
I'm sorry, I have some bad news.
What?
Your brother's dead.
Oh my god, my other brother?
From another mother.
Aww.
What do we want to ask him?
We want to tell him...
all right, yeah.
What we found in about that woman's name that the mysterious stranger wrote a note about.
We also know that his brother didn't commit suicide.
Yeah.
Wait, we can confirm his suspicions.
Well, how do you know? What did you find out?
I detected a particular type of toxin, oil of Taggart. Taggart's oil? Oil of Taggart. It renders the victim unconscious, which would have given his killer ample time to simulate a suicide.
It seems like someone went to such long work to create a fake murder scene. Are you sure?
It was long work. Yes, I believe it's true. They worked long and hard.
Well, do you know who it is? Or are there any leads?
No, we don't know who it is.
Why are you yelling?
We're still investigating the murder. We don't know who it is.
So you just came to tell me that you don't know anything?
Well, we're going to ask you some questions try to figure out who did it.
We found something in the hotel's ledger.
What? Well, what'd you guys find?
There was an unnamed man who checked into the hotel shortly before Roderick did.
Well, what's so strange about that?
We found a note in his room that suggested that your brother was a problem. And that he would be dealt with.
He was writing to someone called Malira. Do you know the name?
No, I've never heard it before.
Shocker.
I'd like to ask you another question that might not be directly related, but a week before, at this inn, a huge heaping amount of half-orcs checked in and left some graffiti behind. Do you have any idea why the town might be visited by that many half-orcs at once?
No, but now that you mention it, I did notice a rather large group of half-orcs running around town, and I don't know if it has any connection to that graffiti you speak of, but there is a considerable amount, and it's all over town. That's what Omast is trying to clean up right now.
Is Omast... Do you know if he's working now? Is he cleaning now? Do you know where he is?
Rumor has it he's taken to the drink ever since he heard of Roderick's death, so he may be working on it at this time of night, but I wouldn't put it past him. Hopefully he's at home, sleeping one off.
Do you know what he drinks?
He would probably most likely drink alone, but if he's out there working on the graffiti, he could be at the walls. That's one of the places where we've seen one of the giant white swords.
All right. Do we want to try to find him?
We didn't have anything else to go over with curse. There was no other information that we found that we wanted to ask him about.
We could talk about the knife.
Or the receipt. We should
see. Yeah. And it's probably not a good time to talk to the father yet.
Nope.
Yeah. So I show him the receipt, and I was like, so do you have any idea, like, what does this mean anything to you? Does this, do you understand this at all? Because we don't.
No, that's very strange.
This is the receipt for the mourning knife that Roderick bought for himself.
The hope knife, yes.
Or hope knife that hope Roderick knife. Bought
why
for
would
himself.
Roderick, why would Roderick purchase... Wait a minute. Roll a knowledge local check.
Roll a shitty check. Oh, 18.
You know, and you would know, Lork and Gormley, to a certain extent, if you rolled high enough, that often when people in True Now are engaged, they exchange hope knives.
So it was just an engraving.
But he was
But he had a hope knife on him, so perhaps he already had Brenya's hope knife, and he was going to... She might have the knife that's engraved on it.
What happened when you spoke to Brenya?
We haven't told her yet.
Don't judge us, Curse. We're figuring it out.
We're first level.
Well, sorry,
we're rolling terrible knowledge local checks. Get off our back.
Well, it's late now. Perhaps you should go see her first thing tomorrow.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
I wish I could offer more, but that's why I asked you guys to investigate. I appreciate that you've figured out that he was poisoned and knocked unconscious, and this is very disturbing. Why would Roderick buy a knife for himself? But, you know, I'm not good at this.
I think we should go find Omast, see if he's fallen off the wagon or not.
Yeah.
Let's go try to find Omast. Omast.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll tell Curse, like, you've been a big help.
Well, you've been a real big help.
Not as big of a help as if you died and your brother was helping us, but still a big help.
That would have helped everybody.
All right, so you guys, it's getting later at night now, and you go down to, Curse says, the best place you could find him is probably down near the South Tower. So you guys head down there, and... You see this man who has sort of like a... He looks kind of like Tim Curry with a pointed beard and a handlebar mustache. And he's dangling from the battlements of the tower by a rope tied to his belt, just trying to wash away graffiti.
It's a fantastic image.
Yeah, and he's just like dangling.
Is he wasted?
He doesn't look sober.
All right, I guess we'll call up to him. Omast!
Omast.
Omast.
Oh, man, what's going on, fellas?
What are you doing up there, Omast?
What are you doing down there, he said. He just starts crying and then laughing again. Omast.
He says his own name again.
Leroy.
All right. Omas, come down from there. We've got a few questions for you.
Come up here and I have a few answers.
Is there a way to get up there?
No, he's not making any sense.
Yeah. Somebody shoot him down.
Can we shoot him down? I can feather fall him to the ground.
Yeah, Baron, shoot the rope. Shoot the ropes, we fall.
I reckon that my ammo might be a little bit more useful in the face of death. So perhaps our ranger orc friend, Lork, the French orc, could help us out here.
L'orc. Hold on. Let me just pull myself up here. He's like trying to pull himself up. His shirt pulls up over his stomach. His guts hanging out. And he gets up and then he just kind of like falls.
Feather fall.
Wow, okay. What's going on, guys? Are you here to help me clean?
Tell me, which of the 12 steps is cleaning graffiti?
What?
Never mind.
Five foot step.
I grab him by the shoulders, and I smell his breath. Do I smell anything in particular?
It reeks of booze. And while he's so close to you, he goes, "Be careful. There's a halfie in your group."
Oh, come on, man.
He, like, tilts his head towards Lork, and Lork is 5 feet away. And here's the whole
thing. Lork just rolls his eyes.
I whisper back and say, "I know."
Greatest threat to True Now, I tell you.
I shake him by his shoulders, and I say, "Get a hold of yourself, man."
How can I if you're holding me?
I let go of him, and I hope he falls to the ground. But that's just a hope.
Poor young Roderick, that magnificent bastard.
Do we have any, can we splash some water on his face or something? Give him a little slap.
Sure.
Focus him, sober him up a little
bit. Sure, you can.
Howie, my scorpion familiar, skitters out of my robes and across. Onto his face.
Ooh. Roll an intimidation check with Howie the Green Stinger Scorpion.
Do I have to look at Howie's stats for that?
No, you do it. Add your intimidation. You probably don't have any.
13.
That's enough for Omos to be like, he's like laying on his back looking at the thing. Guys, come on. We're all friends.
Howie, it's all right.
Howie, skitters.
Sorry.
Why, Omos, we're trying... Would you calm down? We're trying to find out what happened to Roderick. Calm down.
Oh, Roderick. I blame myself.
You did it. Take him in.
Then you're under arrest.
What are we asking him? Is it Melinda?
Yeah, what is...
Let's start with why do you blame yourself, probably. And then go to Malira, maybe.
Yeah. He knew some specific information that...
about the graffiti.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what Curse told us?
And what happened at the inn. And those half-orcs.
Okay.
Was he there?
No. Well, we can ask him.
We can ask him about the half-orcs that arrived and the fact that that was graffitied, too.
This graffiti. Omos, is it the half-orcs? Are they doing it?
I wouldn't put it past them, halfy.
But you don't know. You don't know.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Those half-orcs, they're ruining this town, and they're not worthy of being a True Now. And Roderick himself. Hey, come here. I gotta tell you something. Hey, come here. Not you, him.
Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to?
You. Is it me? He could be talking to the scorpion, as far as you guys are. So he, like, whispers to the scorpion, hey.
Hey, Howie.
Roderick shared a friendship with one of those filthy halfies. And he's that crippled oaf who lounges in the sanctuary's bed, spouting curses and lies of prophetic dreams. And then he just weeps.
Brynja?
Who?
Brynja?
Why does this thing keep talking to me? He whispers to the scorpion.
Do you know the name Brynja? Do you know Brynja?
No.
Why do you blame yourself?
Because the graffiti. I've been cleaning this graffiti, these white swords or whatever they are, all over town. I've dedicated myself to eradicating them, but they just won't go away. So I'm taking that as a sign. A sign from Roderick that I wasn't there to protect him.
That's
but neither was that dirty half or Katresra.
Who?
What?
Ooh.
Tim Allen's here. Wow, thanks for joining us, Tim.
Who is that? Who did you just say?
Katresra.
Katresra.
Yeah, it's the dirty orc that Roderick was buddy-buddy with. I told you, the oaf that lives in the sanctuary. That piece of orc.
And you say she's... And you say she's a prophet?
He, as far as I know.
Well, it's hard to tell. They all look alike to me.
You and me both, buddy. You and me both, Tiny.
And where is this Katresra?
As you said, he lives in the sanctuary, as far as I know.
So I, of Yomadai?
Yeah, of Yomadai. How many sanctuaries are there in town?
So I
it reminds me, I gotta go clean up the graffiti there, too!
So I know, I would probably know this person, having worked at the sanctuary.
You've heard the name, but never met him.
Okay.
You've definitely heard the name,
okay,
but never met him.
Hmm. Do you have any idea why this graffiti's so hard to wash off?
No, but I'm a scrub. It is my penance.
Penance for what?
For not being there.
Roderick. Remember he was murdered?
That's confusing.
He's the guy that we're...
His damn white swords, and he just kind of like stands, like leans over. And still has the scorpion on him, and he's just scrubbing the wall from the ground with a scorpion on his chest.
Oh, God.
Must clean the swords. Poor Roderick.
Burp. All right. Take a break, old-timer.
You take a break. Where are you guys staying tonight?
The Ramble House.
Well, we're very well-reviewed on Yelp.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, you know Almast, Lork, and you have seen this guy sober for a while.
Yeah.
Even though you're not, like, close to him, you kind of feel bad for this guy. And you know that he's unfairly blaming himself for this. He kind of probably just need an excuse to start drinking again.
Sure.
But you do take a little pity on him, even though he's never been a friend of yours because of your orkiness.
Yeah.
Can we, he's in bad shape, and he should
be. Can we see him home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lork would like to see him home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glamis. Oh, come on, old man. It's time to go home. Had enough. Sleep it off.
All right.
Time to sleep it
Don't
off.
Don't touch me with those hands. That's fine.
I'll pick him up. I'll try to, like...
Thank you, good sir.
God damn, that's racist. God damn.
Be careful. They steal.
Jesus. He says to Galabras.
Gormley reaches in and grabs the scorpion back. Whispers.
He's a racist. Don't ever be like him.
And so you guys can walk back to the Ramble House with Almast, and he's staying nearby. So you do so, and by now it's night, and so you guys are going to retire back to the Ramble House?
Yeah. We won't run into any more diseased wolves or anything.
Yeah, I think we can call it a night, and because we got work to do. At sunup. I mean, we could also maybe talk to this guy sober and definitely try to talk to Brynja. And we have this new lead with this Katresna at the sanctuary.
Yeah.
So I think calling it a day, and that's a good day of investigation, though.
Yeah.
Solid day. Yeah. Solid day. All things
started with a murder. We should demand free rent from Chan.
So do you guys all go to bed?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody roll a perception check.
Ooh, 7.
21.
15.
9.
Lork.
I'll just have to let you know what happens next time.
Oh, come on. No.